天呢，我跟 Amy 到加州他学校的 orientation 去那边，其实我才深深的体会到该担心的不是孩子，其实要担心的是我自己。 Amy 是我的一个大女儿，她下面还有两个弟弟。我担心 Amy 她一个人就把我们家银行的钱用光了，幸好银行里别人的钱还很多啊，我们可以去借啊。那在这边，在他学校的时候，他在 Berkeley 的 bookstore 里面，他买了一个 mug， 一个咖啡杯送给我，他上面写的 My kids and my money go to California。 那个瓦特牧师说给我两分钟的时间，我要把减少58分钟，我简单的对 Amy 讲几句话。那 Amy 这次要到加州是你的决定，爸爸跟妈妈会 support 你的。去加州是你人生下一个阶段，你要勇敢的去自己去面对它。那伯克利那离我们家有806迈啊，爸爸每天都会想你的，你要勇敢。谢谢。
We also want to honor those who are graduating from college, and I'm going to ask Stephanie and Robert to stand up. They both graduated from UW this year as well, so let's give them a hand of applause as well. Now we're going to pray for them. So I'm going to ask both Robert and Stephanie to stay standing. I'm going to ask Joyce and Amy to also stand up as well. And all of you guys who are surrounding them, please just put your hands around them as we pray for them like this. Can we do that? Okay, let's do that and just bow our heads. Yeah, just, you know, feel free to, you know, pat on their back and just show support, you know. They've been a part of this community, and we are honored to be a part of this moment in their lives. So, okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness in their lives. And now as they transition to the next stage, Lord, we ask for your guidance. Help them to remember your faithfulness always. For you are their God. You look after them. You have great plans for them in their lives. And Lord, help them to see that despite of all the things that this world can offer, only you are indispensable. Only you are worth it. So Lord, we pray as we send them off together in this community, as they go to the next school or next job or whatever they're going to do, Lord God, we pray for your blessing. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless. Okay. And we have one more group of people that we need to honor today. And those are the dads. So I'm going to ask all the dads to actually come to the front. You know, if you're a dad, please come to the front. And we want to pray for you as well. We want to pray for you. So, you know, we have some, you know, some dads from the TM, you know, please come to the front as well. And I want to pray for you. Okay. I want to pray for you. Okay. Now, usually in moments like this, I would rather have another person to pray for this group because I'm a dad myself. but still, you know, I want to encourage you to lay your hands out like this as we pray for the dads, pray for this group right here, including myself. And it's kind of awkward praying for it. But still, you know, I think you guys know what it means. You know, we need help like you do. I think the role of a father is just not very easy. It's very challenging. But we want to do what is right in God's eyes. So please pray for us. Father, we thank you that all the fathers standing here, we know that we cannot be a good father unless we are first a child of God. And Lord, we pray for wisdom and guidance, Lord. We thank you for the joy and the sorrow that we've experienced this far. Some people have experienced that more. But still, Lord God, we thank you for calling us into this role of fatherhood. And Lord, there are times that we don't understand where to go. There are times that we fail. But still, we know that you are a great God. So Lord, we thank you for this great day in which we can honor all the dads who are here today. And we pray that, Lord, your blessing will and your faithfulness will be with us through and through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you. The Lord be with you. I want to invite you to turn to your bulletin or to your Bible for today's scripture reading, which is found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 12 to verse 15. And as always, let's read it out loud together, starting from verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. And he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said to the Spirit, will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The word of the Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, before you died, you said to your disciples, and consequently, you say to us that it is for our good that you are going away, because unless you go away, the counselor will not come to us. Well, we thank you for sending us the counselor, the Holy Spirit, to convict our heart and to guide us into all truth. And now as we come before your words, we ask for the Spirit of truth to illuminate our minds so that we may see and learn from what you have in store for us today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you guys can see from your bulletin, the sermon today is entitled, Never Stop Learning. Never Stop Learning. And it's a special sermon of which I prepared to encourage all the grads, as well as all of you guys, to never stop learning, especially in the Christian life. Now, just to kind of build a little context before we look at the points here, we're told in the Gospel of John that, you know, Jesus spent about 3.5 years teaching his disciples about what it means to follow God and what God's kingdom looks like. And Jesus taught them, you know, that the kingdom of God is like a man who had 2 sons. We all know that story. Or like the Good Samaritan who helped out with a person who was needy. Or like the mustard seed, the scripture that we read earlier, that will eventually grow into a big tree. And he would use a lot of different images. And then right before he's about to leave them, he gives the disciples a closing address, or commencement speech, if you will. And most of that teaching is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 to 16. But let's think about this a little bit further. You see, normally when a teacher or when a coach finishes his class before the exam or his training before the big game, if he's done his job well, I think he would usually say to the people before him, hey guys, just make sure that you review those key points before the exam, right? Or like, make sure you do those drills before the big game. In other words, as long as you repeat what you've learned in the class or in the game, then you'll be fine. You've done your studies, you've finished your trainings, and now you're ready for the final or for the game, right? And then, of course, upon hearing such, you know, pep talk, you know, we're all like, yeah, let's do it, you know? And we're off and ready for the challenge. I mean, they've done their part, and now it's ready for some action. Well, in the same way, Jesus' disciples probably would have felt the same way, that they were ready to take on the world. They've been with their teacher for 3.5 years. They've sat through all his teachings throughout his ministry. and they've witnessed his miraculous signs and powers. They've done their part, and they're now ready for some action. But guess what? The disciples may think that they're done with the school of Jesus. The teacher is not done with them. Instead, in our passage today, we see that Jesus basically says to them, well, guess what? I'm going to send you a tutor. Jesus is saying to his disciples, hey, you guys are not done yet. Your education is not over. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Verse 12. I will send you a tutor, the Holy Spirit, who will not only remind you of the things that you've learned, but he will also teach you new things that you have yet to learn at this point in your life. So what are some of the things that the disciples of Jesus need to learn? Well, for those who just graduated, for those who feel like they've had it made, or even for those who have grown complacent or content about their lives, I think that's most of you, myself included. This is what I believe God wants to say to us today. And there are 3 points. You can see that in the bulletin. Here's the first point. Never stop learning, but maintain a learning posture throughout your life. If you have a pen or pencil, feel free to write that down. Never stop learning, but maintain a learning posture throughout your life. Now, I know that for those of you who finish the degrees or programs or certificates, or for those who are about to enter into the workforce for the very first time, you may think, well, I don't need to learn anything anymore. You know, all I need to do is put what I've learned into practice and make a living. Now, that's not to say that you don't learn new things at work, but I think that's the mentality that we have a lot of times when we finish, you know, our schooling. You know, I'm not a student anymore. I've acquired enough skills to make contributions to the society, and therefore I need to stop learning and start producing, right? I mean, I used to think like that, actually. Yeah, but now I'm ashamed. But see, you know, as healthy individuals, especially as Christians, we need to constantly remind ourselves that we are and we will always be students. We'll always be students. In this life, especially in this life, for there are way too many things that this life will teach us. Now, just take myself as an example. I have a bachelor's degree in nutritional science back in 2001. And I have a master's in divinity in 2006. And I started first grade, you know, elementary school, first grade, back in 1984. I mean, that's how many years of schooling, guys? That's 22 years of schooling. I mean, I have been out of school full-time for 5 years now, but I've learned so much more about life than I've ever had when I was in school. And they might not, you know, being like formal learning, but they're still learning at the same time. Now, let me share with you some of the life lessons I've learned this far, you know, from personal experience. And I'll share them with you. They're on the PowerPoint. Now, mind you, some of those statements, they do sound very cliche, right? But sometimes they're true, okay? Here's the first thing I learned. Well, just a few things. I learned that two people can look at the same thing, exact same thing, and see something totally different. That's one thing I learned. I've learned that our background and our circumstances may have influenced who we are, but we're ultimately responsible for who we become. I've learned that growth and maturity has more to do with the types of experiences you've had and what you've learned from them, and less to do with how much you know and how many birthdays you've celebrated. I've learned that no matter how close you are with someone, that person will eventually hurt you once in a while, and you have to learn to forgive that person. I've learned that it takes a long time to build up trust, and only a few seconds to destroy it. I've learned that the only person you can change is yourself, and changing other people is God's business. And here's one more. I've learned that the human body is not made for all-you-can-eat buffets after you pass the age of 30. Amen? Right? Can't do it anymore. But here's my point. We are to never stop learning, guys. Never think you have arrived. Always ask questions and seek answers. God still has a lot to teach us. An organism that does not grow eventually dies. A limb that is not used eventually shrivel away. A person who thinks he knows better is a fool at the end of the day. Listen to Proverbs 15, verse 2, where it says, the wise person makes learning what? A joy. You guys hear that? A joy. Fools, what do? They spout out only foolishness. So brothers and sisters, let us never stop learning, but maintain this learning posture throughout our lives. That's the first thing that we see here. Here's the second thing. Never stop learning and embrace the mysteries of life. Embrace the mysteries of life. I'll let you write that down for a little bit. Now, there are many things in this life that we will never, ever understand. Now, for those who have a very perfectionist tendency, please hear that. We will never understand. Okay? And that enough should humble us. For instance, when it comes to the Christian theology, we will never be able to wrap our heads around the mystery of the Trinity, for example. For there is one God that is revealed in three persons. Now, how can God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be one God but three? I mean, how does that work? It makes no sense. Of course, we have a lot of different ways of, you know, expressing what we think the Trinity is. Some people see the Trinity as a triangle, right? Kind of like that, okay? Some see the Trinity as water in the state of liquid, solid, and gas. And then some see it as a shamrock, you know, a plant that has three leaves. But basically, when we talk about the Trinity, we're saying 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. What does that mean? It doesn't make sense. It's a mystery that we'll never be able to understand. How about the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Another mystery that we'll never be able to know without human limitations. I mean, how can Jesus be 100% human and 100% divine at the same time? I mean, how can the God of the universe spoke the world into existence, became a little infant who had to learn to walk and talk just like us? Not to mention the sacrifice on the cross, the King of Kings dying on the cross so that we may have life. How does that work? It makes no sense. Now, not only do we see such mystery in the Christian faith, we see mystery all around us, all the time. There are some things, even common things, that you just cannot explain in words. I mean, you can try, but you can't really go far with it. You see, there are things in life that are meant to be experienced and lived through. They're not meant to be explained or to be understood simply as knowledge or information. And God a lot of times uses these experiences to shape us and to mold us into more like His Son. And a lot of times, it's very difficult to put words into these experiences. And let me share with you guys two concrete examples of mysteries that I have experienced in my life. Two mysteries. And for those who have experienced these two mysteries, you guys can probably relate to that. And for those who haven't, you guys won't fully understand, but I'll try. Right? I'll try to explain to you guys. The first is the mystery of marriage. You see, I'll never be able to understand how a beautiful, intelligent, and godly woman like Esther would marry someone like me. I mean, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, how does that work? It makes no sense. You see, no one can explain the mystery of two very different individuals from two different families coming and forming a family together. No one can explain the amount of time and energy spent in communicating with the other person in a marriage. No one can explain both the magical joy as well as the painful hurt that one experiences in a marriage. And for those of you who are married, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. There are moments of happiness, of misunderstandings, and there are also moments of tenderness and hurt in every marriage. And when God says a man is to leave his father and his mother and they are to become one, well, it takes a whole lifetime to appreciate what that means. It's a mystery to which I cannot explain. I mean, that's as far as I can say, but that's it. Here's the second mystery that I've learned. It's the mystery of parenthood. You see, parenthood is such a mystery that nobody will ever understand it until you experience it yourself. I mean, people will tell you, lots of people actually, but it seems impossible to explain how a tiny little infant who initially sleeps, cries, poops, and eats can make such an impact in a person's life. I mean, no one can explain how much time is involved in taking care of a baby. It just seems that, you know, it should be so easy, but it's really not. I used to think that, oh, it's a piece of cake, and then Ian arrived, and then my whole world just turned upside down. It's hard. It's hard beyond my imagination. And every parent, you guys sitting here, you guys all know what I'm talking about. The sleepless nights, the dirty diapers, the vomit, you know, the first fever, you know, the diaper bags, all these things that are needed to take care of one little creature who does nothing and cry and just poops and eats to you. And then after that, there's the worry, you know, are they eating enough? Are they eating too much? You know, are they eating the right stuff? When should they be eating this? You know, like, should they be eating that? I mean, all these questions, they'll drive you nuts. And then, of course, there's the love that you feel when you have a child. And you can't explain that as well. You know, that cry, you know, I mean, how does that work? I don't know. No one can explain the love you feel for a child. How you would go berserk when you hear the first sound of mama or papa. Or when you see the first smile, the first real smile on their face. How your eyes would tear up for the silliest things. Oh, that's so cute. You know? And you experience this kind of love that you never knew that you had before. And you wonder where it came from. And at this point, you are a total different person than you first began. And you have assumed a whole new identity, a persona in your life. And your transformation into mommy and daddy has completed, but it's not finished. And you will have this title, mom or dad, for the rest of your life. You are a parent. And no one can explain that to you until you first experience it yourself. But here's my point. It's not so much about marriage or parenthood I want to focus here, but more about how life is filled with mysteries. You know, I find that oftentimes God is most present at moments when we are most speechless. Let me say that again. God is most present when we are most speechless. So brothers and sisters, let us never stop learning and embrace the mysteries of life. Second point. Now last but not least, never stop learning and be ready for the ride of your life. Be ready for the ride of your life. You know, I grew up in the Christian tradition where I was told to see the Christian life as a mountaintop. And with that view, we live usually, you know, in that view, we live down in the valley. And we will only go up to the mountain when we go to, like, retreats or conferences or Christian rallies where we actually experience the presence of God. And I don't know how many times after the retreat, someone would say to me, "Hey, Walt, you've been on the mountaintop. You've been on spiritual high. But now, you're going back to the valley." And we all know what that means, right? You know, they mean, well, you have got to maintain that experience, that spiritual fervor, so that, you know, you will last throughout your life. But that never seemed to work. So in my mind, I grew up believing that the Christian life was a series of ups and downs, you know, mountaintops and valleys, and that as I grow older, I will eventually have fewer, you know, ups and downs. And that if I live long enough, I can stay on the top of the mountain. I can stay there forever. I mean, that was my understanding of the Christian life. But as I grow older, I begin to see that the Christian life with that kind of view is simply too simplistic and inadequate. And if you were to ask me how I view the Christian life, this is how I would describe it to you. It's like a roller coaster ride. It's like a roller coaster ride. You know, and this is what it looks like. You know, as you say yes to Jesus, and then suddenly you're strapped in, and you're like, "Oh my God, I'm going to die!" And then at the bottom of the hill, you begin this climb. You know, when you start, you begin this climb. You know, of growth, fellowship, Sunday school, mission trip, baptism, and then as you go a little bit further, you go to the very top. And you're like, "Yeah, this is a nice view. I think I can follow Jesus anywhere." And then zoom, it went. You know, it goes down. You know, takes you on twists and turns, you know, throwing you ups and downs, left and right, and you don't even know where you're going to go next. You see, following Jesus is never boring. Can I say that again? Following Jesus is never boring. If we truly follow Jesus the way he asks us to, then we will find that he's asking us to take on a roller coaster ride with him, where every moment matters and you will hang on for your dear life. That's what it means to have a passion for God. Jesus came to save us and to forgive our sins, yes. But his mission was to invite us to this passion of living. You see, a lot of people, they believe that following Jesus is all about living rightly and morally. That's not true. Following Jesus is all about living life to the fullest. Listen carefully to Paul's description of the Christian life to the Church of Rome. I'm reading this from the Message translation. It says this. It says, "It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, you'll do the same thing in that you'll do the same thing, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bring you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you're delivered from that dead life with his spirit living in you. Your body will be as alive as Christ's." And he says, "This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Papa? What's next?' Because you don't know what's going to happen next." You guys know what passion is? Passion is the feeling of aliveness. It's living with expectancy, with anticipation, and with enthusiasm. You guys know what the opposite of passion is? It's like living a dead life. It's like living a life that is boring. You know, life was never boring for me. After I became a Christian in college, I got involved in the Christian ministry. I learned to lead worship with guitar. And I went on to a short-term mission trip in Africa. I worked in a coffee shop, studied in seminary, had a girlfriend, experienced a breakup, served as a youth pastor. I met Esther, married her, moved to Seattle, became a pastor. And then my cat died. And I became a father. It was never boring. Twists and turns all the time. And I know it's not over yet. There's more to come. So brothers and sisters, especially Amy, Joyce, Stephanie, and Robert, love and follow Jesus with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Be a learner. Embrace life's mysteries. And be ready for the ride of your life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that the life that you offer us is so much more than we can ever imagine. And by faith, we pray that you will take us to places where we've never been before. And that you will lead us to make decisions where we've never imagined ourselves to make in the past. By the power of your Spirit, we pray that you will instill a passion and the kind of joy that you promised us. And for those who are moving to a new stage in life, Lord, we ask for your guidance and your protection, that every step they will see your presence always. Thank you for the word that reminds us of who you are and the kind of life that you call us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand up and let us sing the response songs together.